This conference is being recorded.
Alrighty, we are being recorded. Welcome, Circle of Life Coaches. It's May 26th, and we are having a general call to check in and celebrate victories and support from each other. So is there anyone that came on with like a burning question or something they want to share?
I have a question. This is Sherry.
Okay, Sherry.
I'm about to propose to the director of nursing where I work a hour-and-a-half stress management group for the nurses in July. And is when I want to do it. And I want it to be like a little taste of COL so that when I go and propose the whole longer thing, they'll go, yeah, that was great. Can we do this? So I need some hints on what to throw into a short thing. Now, I do stress management groups where I work. I'm a recreation therapist. And so, I mean, I know that part of it, but I want to throw in the COL stuff. So that's what I want the hints about.
Yeah, well, let's just see if anybody from the group has any ideas, and I'll be happy to, you know, brainstorm with all of us about that. Has anybody done that?
This is Erin. That's something I'm interested in, too, is a short format for hospital environment.
The short format for the first session or the kind of, like, it sounds like, Sherry, you're doing an hour and a half kind of stress management with Circle of Life in it.
Right, and so that I can kind of tempt them so that when I go to him the next time and say, hey, you know that thing I did that everybody loved? Now I'd like to do the whole thing.
Well, a couple suggestions that I have is there's a PowerPoint on the Coach Tools page. I think it has like five slides.
I think
and it just has a circle, and it just asks some questions like, or you could just, do you know how to make a PowerPoint? So a question is looking at your, you know, you could put a picture of, I think it's on the PowerPoint, of Jean's sample with the colorful circle. And just talking about kind of doing a little, just you could pass out the circle and just do like a real, you know, like what I did in businesses, which was like a five-minute look at your circle, not like coloring in or, you know, meditative, but just kind of like a first flash of just taking a current snapshot, just how is your life going in these different areas? How are you satisfied? What are you feeling about these different areas of your life right now, scale 1 to 10? And they just take a pen or a, you know, pencil, and they just make a line, like, and so they just do a line, like giving a score, and just talk about how everything affects the whole, and just talking about everything is either giving you energy and supporting you in your life, or some part of your life may be leaking energy or draining energy. So we always want to look at your life on a, you know, full perspective, full view of it. It's a holistic way of looking at it, and holistic is also, I mean, if it's an open-minded group, holy comes from holy, so kind of a sacred view, and then just having them do it in 5 minutes, and then just discussing about how those different aspects affect the whole, and just having that discussion, and then you might want to do a lot of experiential, so mainly people leave feeling good. That's the main thing, is that they, not so much talking, but more just experiential. So the circle, and then out of those, you know, having a discussion, a two-minute partnering exercise where they talk about their strengths, sort of like the intro, the 5 minutes, a 60-minute intro, only elaborating on it, so just expanding on that. I kind of forget what's in the intro. I haven't looked at it for a while, but a lot of mind-body practices.
Yeah, I wanted to get at least two or three of those in.
Yeah, I want to get
even
three.
Even though it's short time, because I know they all watch me do the Tai Chi with the patients, and they, you know, this, what I do is pretty close to Tai Chi easy.
Excellent.
And try that. So they're always asking me, can't you do this with us? So I know that has to be one of them.
Yeah, well, maybe you might make that bigger, make that more. Because again, you wanna have them leave feeling like whatever we just did, I wanna do more of it.
Right.
Right? And so they're already asking for that?
Oh yeah, they have been.
So I would put 5 years
they've been asking me.
Oh, that's a pretty request that you can just fulfill. So I would say because they're already asking for that, I would have maybe either, 15 minutes of that hour and a half of like either 5 minutes every half hour.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Good. Yeah, what are you thinking? And then we'll see if there's any questions.
Well, I was thinking 5 minutes of mind-body every half an hour, and ending with something mind-body so that they could feel energized, but also relaxed at the same time. And then I have to get some of the coping skills in there, too, so important things. But I think doing the circle and looking at that and having an understanding that how well, another thing is, one of the things that I stress is that stress is a natural part of life, a normal part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, when I do that with the patients, they like start relaxing right away because they never realized before that it's okay to have stress. It's bad stress that we need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're giving them permission to have the human experience rather than seeing something wrong or something to resist and try to push away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of, I think I'm going to be starting in that area, talking about, what is stress? Just maybe 5 minutes on that. What is stress?
Good.
Because we all know what symptoms are. We don't necessarily know what stress is and how it affects the body besides what we feel as far as, headaches and stomach aches and that kind of stuff.
I think it's good to involve the group, too, to say what's something you do that kind of breaks the cycle of stress for you or shifts your energy so that you're bringing the wisdom to the group.
Right.
What are some things you do when you're stressed? I mean, do you pet your dog or do you get some water or do you, what do you do?
Go for
a walk. What do you do when you need to shift? Because when they hear it from each other, then they're more, they're getting the wisdom from the group and also those people are, it's their people, they're people that are in the same situation. And then you can say, those are just, fabulous. How many people do you think might be there?
I don't know. I don't want more than 15 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I think, even though there's a nice area I can have it in, I think it would be a little too large. And not enough time for people to talk. So,
yeah.
And that interaction is also part of stress.
Oh, it's very key. So I think the circle...
Right.
Talking about stress, at least 15 minutes, 5 minute increments of mind-body practice. Talking about their strengths when they're looking at their circle, having a partner exercise where they discuss what's working well.
Mm-hmm.
And, reminding them that they can take those strengths and apply it to any area of their life, that they already have a lot of resources on board. And then having an index card where they write down something they're going to do in self-care, something they're going to do to take care of themselves the following week, and when they're going to take that action step. And depending on time, you could have them say what might be one challenge and then have them either get in groups of three and just discuss that, like, maybe 4 minutes each or something.
Right.
That way they get to say it, be witnessed.
Right.
But they don't have to set up accountability because then people get tense.
Right.
And just first they're talking about their strengths, they're learning some practices, then they're taking about one thing they're going to do for their self-care, something that would, you know, get them a feeling of well-being.
Right.
And when they're going to schedule that in, like
right.
when is a realistic time. And I think then you talk about the stress, and I think that would probably take up the, it's an hour and a half.
A half, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you have a bathroom break or something in there.
Right, in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So I think those
I
are
think
the...
that would probably do it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it's nice to do maybe a little, there's a 3-minute visualization on the Coach Tools page, or I think it's good to do something where they kind of go, you know, use the power of their imagination and visualization.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's so powerful in creating what we want and getting the nervous system and getting the, you know, brain chemistry, everything aligned with what we want to create. So some kind of relaxation too. Either a relaxation or that 3-minute visualization.
That's also something they want to do, because I also do relaxation groups.
Oh, perfect.
They never get to do it, but the patients
yeah,
do, so.
That's perfect. Yeah, give them the things they never get to do.
Right.
Hardly any theory and lots of experience.
Right.
I mean, just a little bit like you're talking about the stress management. That sounds like an awesome program.
Yeah, it's, I love doing it. And I've been doing it for quite a while now, and it's usually, and I do something different with the patients every week, so.
Oh, fine.
They get it. Besides the relaxation groups and 2 Tai Chi groups, they also get a stress management name group for an hour every week. So that's pretty good. Oh, and I didn't say it's psych, of course.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you, Sherry, and let us know how that goes.
I will. Thank you very much.
That's a good, a great program for a lot of people to kind of introduce the process and have them, everybody has their special skills. Some of you might be nutritionalists and some of you might be more Qigong or whatever your thing is, but that sounds fun.
It is, and I love doing it, so it's great, but I'm nervous doing it for the nurses. And
uh-huh.
I'm glad this came up because I'm meeting with the DON tomorrow morning. So.
Oh, great. Well, I did a lot of programs for nurses for about a decade. And, they're the group that takes the least amount of care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be a little uncomfortable with it. That's why you just make it, you know, this is what we're going to do for an hour and a half. And they leave with one self-care thing. And it really works well. So I think you got a fabulous program.
Thanks. And
they're
going to
love it. All right, Sherry. Thank you. And I'm just going to go to Erin just because you had a question related to time frames.
Yes, you said you had done groups of nurses.
Yes.
What length of sessions did you do with them? Was it an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours?
It was sometimes 45 minutes.
45 minutes, okay. Yeah, because that sounds more like the realistic time
yeah.
frame. I would expect them to say, okay, you got 45 minutes or a half hour.
Yes, circle yeah. life on speed. It's very like you're just like reader digest. And in those cases, really what I find is less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so overwhelmed with data and information and media and things to do and things to process mentally. So I think anytime, again, just like I was saying to Sherry, is that have a little spaciousness and some self-care practices and just some little exercises where they get to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about strengths and talking about what they'd like to, you know, just some simple self-care they want to be doing each week. And self-care can be anything. You know, they can be taking a walk or doing mind-body practice or having lunch with a friend and, you know, just talk about all the different ways and have them kind of share, like, what does self-care mean to you? Like, have them define it. And so they're getting ideas from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you can bring the group into sharing, there's so much more power there, and they're just more, much more engaged. Instead of telling them anything, they already know. They just need some, you know, just to be witnessed and then to help create a little plan. So there is in, see, I don't know if it was in your training manual, Erin, but I, you know, because that was 2007, but there is a link that I sent recently to different formats that are one-hour follow-up formats. So just kind of...
Okay, I'll go back and look for that.
I just had, like, I don't know, Circle of Life Resources, and it had, I don't remember when I sent that email, but there's just different formats that you can, there's a link to a page, and it says there's email formats, like if you want to send something ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you're working with people, you know, when you're working with really busy people, you're sending them something ahead of time, they don't get to it usually. But if you're, you know, if you can get people to do a little bit before they come, then the time is, you know, utilized much more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
You fill out your circle and bring it to the session. But the other thing is, what is the group? Is it Nurses Too?
Well, I don't have it yet. My hospital I work for has started a brand new worksite wellness initiative, and I just sent off an email today volunteering myself for how they would like to utilize me. So I was, you know, thinking, planning in advance, you know, wanting to get some ideas on different formats. So if they say, okay, you know, you're a wellness coach, what can you offer us? I can say, well, you could do this or you could do this.
Yeah. Well, you could do, you know, it'd be nice if you had the first session at least 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then follow-up is 1 hour. Again, on that web link, I'll try to, resend that to you. You kind of scroll down. It just has different formats from a retreat to one-hour formats. And you don't have to, none of these formats you have to follow exactly. It just gives you some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You have shorter time.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was looking for, just ideas of options.
Yeah, and so I feel like you can do 1 hour, and when I work in businesses and hospitals and nurses, you know, it's like really, it really turns out to be like 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time they're in, you know, and there's people that are late and, you know, it's distracting, and so it really becomes 50 minutes. So I think it's just a time, you know, again, not worrying so much about covering very much, just kind of one session, maybe it's filling out the circle and discussing it,
mm-hmm.
talking about it. I think, you know, people don't have time to reflect and just drop into that conversation. You know, maybe you do two processes for the hour, and so maybe it takes longer. You know, maybe it's
mm-hmm.
10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's possible, you know, if it's, you know, what your realities are about your time frames.
Yeah, it may just be like a more like a introduction type thing, or more like what Sherry is talking, and then maybe if individuals want to do something on their own. I don't know what, you know, I'm just saying, hey, I'm interested in helping with this, you know, let me know how it can be of service, basically, is what the email said. And what my credentials are, so I'll see what happens with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I would you could do the 1 hour, you know, that's on the coach website, and again, you know, make your own variations, and you know, just asking again people what do you do that gives you a feeling of well-being, or when you're stressed, what do you do? And again, it just helps to bring people things to mind, and having them tap into what they already know, and they hear it from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing like the lifeboat analogy is good if you're going to be working with them more than one time. But otherwise, you know, they might feel like they're stranded in their boat, or their boat's sinking, and you're just left them there. If you're going to for sure be follow-up, say, this is what we're going to do, is we're going to get you resourced for your journey and help you to clarify your destination and get the support and the team that you need and get your supplies and get a map and et cetera. So it's very good if you're going to do a follow-up, but if you're not going to do a follow-up, I would not do the boat analogy.
Okay. All right, so that gives me some ideas.
Okay. Yeah, look on that web link. And if you can't find that email, just shoot me an email, and I'll resend it. So, great, Erin. Good luck with that. I hope that, unfolds. It sounds exciting.
Yeah, I think if I was able to get involved with that, that would make me feel more positive about my current job, my current job that I'm transitioning out of. So.
And you're a pharmacist, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're a full-spectrum gal, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, a lot, as I was saying to Sherry, I think anytime we add some mind-body stuff seems just too weird for people. So you want to have a little rationale and a little science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to teach it so that the left brain is, handled, and then they can just kind of more experience the experience. But if they're left, they need some science. If you're going to do mind-body practices and they're don't really understand, why am I moving my arms like chi? What the heck is that? If they're not like with Sherry, they're asking her for that. But if they're not asking you, you want to describe a little bit what physiological changes and mechanisms activated. Alrighty, so thank you, Erin. Anyone else have a question or anything they want to ask on any level or talk about?
Rebecca, hi, this is Cammie.
Hi, Cammie.
Hi. See, listen, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the positive coaching stuff that I'm coming across.
All right.
I love the circle of life because when you do the circle assessment, you're having people take a real honest look at where they find energy in their life and where they're experiencing maybe a little bit of drain.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other work that I've done, I've come across a book by Dr. William Larkin. Do you know his book, Spiral? Let's see. I've lost the title right now.
What's it about?
Building up the positive emotions.
Oh, yeah.
Using your strengths to create an upward spiral. Mm-hmm. Growing the positive mind. Here I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of that?
I haven't, but I like the book Positivity.
Yes, by Barbara Fredrickson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it kind of all comes from that same positive psychology stuff.
Yes.
And then in my last round of Circle of Lifers, a couple of the gals were into Tom Rapp's book, that Strength Finders. Have you had folks using that?
Yeah, Strength Finders is a great tool too. It's Strength Finders 02 or something.
Yes, 2.0.
Oh, 2.0, 02. Uh-huh.
I've really enjoyed incorporating that into the Circle of Life process. And what I happened to do this last time was we pulled the Circle of Life assessment circle out again and looked at the circle from the positive angle, too. So they looked at some of the areas that they had rated themselves high on.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually gave them a clean circle to look at this again. And then to be a little bit more linear instead of just filling in a line, they actually wrote a little bit about what their strengths are in that area.
Nice.
To just be a little bit more mindful about how they can draw on those strengths.
Excellent.
I found that people are not really very good at identifying their strengths.
Yeah, that is a very good point. I'm really glad you brought that up because that's the whole positivity, is that people really, it's very hard for people to make a change unless they have that positivity basis.
Yes, and that's one of our concepts in energy work, is that when people get really hung up. And that's another thing I like about the Circle of Life is that you encourage people not to pick their most devastatingly low area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the this whole thing about positivity and why it's why the strengths are so effective is why the Circle of Life is effective in not going with your weakest area, because if you can employ the strengths that you have in a certain area, Dr. William Larkin describes it in as you ride your strengths, as you enter into the upward spiral, like Barbara Fredrickson talks about, then you build that energy, and the energy that was being dissipated by working so hard,
mm-hmm.
focusing on your weaknesses, just begins to dissipate because you're not putting all your effort there.
You're not putting all your effort on the thing that's not
that's
working.
So hard. He
right.
talks about how only 3-7% success in changing our weaknesses
yes.
over the course of a lifetime, which is really, you know, such minimal change.
Yeah.
And they say that it's really difficult for people to change your weaknesses unless you're in a consistent self-help group or 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
But people experience a lot of change, as we've seen, like in the Circle of Life, if people focus in on their strengths. And I think the other 15 powers of the circle, then I think that I have seen people in the groups that are making great changes. And I just think that there's a lot of power there that I just wanted to share with everyone that I've been really focusing in on, and it's helped the people in the groups.
Well, I love that idea. So did you have them take a blank circle, and did they fill it in the graphic, or did they write outside of it, or how did you have them do that?
Well, you know, that's their assignment for this week, and I gave them actually a lot of freedom to do this because we also did an extra session on mind mapping, and
mm-hmm.
we kind of described trying to help them discover whether they work better linearly, you know, writing lists, or if they work better with images or, you know, a kind of mind mapping style.
Mm-hmm.
So I left it up to them and let them decide how they wanted to describe that.
Mm-hmm.
So they could either just write it on the circle given, or they could maybe do it a little more visually with colors and pictures or however it was going to help them.
Yeah, that's great, because I know when I did some different workshops, I did a similar thing where I had them fill out their circle, and I said, you can either write words or you can do images. And I had this guy, like, make, you know, musical notes and play and creativity, and then he had this big shark in his work.
Oh, cool.
This shark that was kind of like the big jaw. It's like, oh, I'm getting the feeling of your work experience here.
Oh.
So I think that's good to give those options.
Yeah, and they seem to really enjoy that too. And I think I just think that people are really finding joy in solving problems using their right brain a little bit instead
yes.
of always, you know, trying to solve problems linearly with their left brain and analytically and, you know, that sort of track that we get stuck in.
Yeah, I think that's, and then you're using your heart intelligence and
yeah, it really pulls together a lot of the
emotional intelligence
we work on. You know, and this is the end of a circle group. It's actually an added-on session. So they've had the benefit of going through, you know, learning the power of metaphor and using visualization. So they kind of have experienced how tapping into some more of that right brain kind of stuff has been powerful for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they can kind of trust that, okay, I'm going to experiment with this a little bit and see how it'll feel.
Yeah, that is. And how many sessions had they had?
This group had 6 sessions, and then we ended up, they wanted to have 4 more, but we didn't feel like they needed to meet weekly anymore, so we stretched the 4 out over 8 weeks, so they're meeting now every other week for 4 more sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really like the witnessing, as you're describing it, coming together and be able to give voice to their accomplishments. They really
mm-hmm.
love that,
mm-hmm.
And then of course the sharing of a challenge and getting the group support has been helpful. But then we've tacked on just a couple of little pieces of information to share. So we did mind mapping 1 week, and then this week we did building our strengths, and we're going to do one next session on creating sacred space.
Oh,
so that's make it an effort to create a sacred place in their home for time of quiet, and maybe a place to do their mind-body practices, and they build that environment up a little bit, you know, and what that might look like for them.
Mm-hmm. And these are just you know, incredible ideas, and I'm so glad that you just, you know, followed your intuition and your creativity and the group and giving them all these different ways and all of the coaches to know that you can really use all of these, you know, in the beginning, the middle, the end, you know, that you can really elaborate on it. This is the main, you know, give you a structure. But I've always said once you understand the structure, then you can elaborate on it. I mean, maybe you'd start the first session with what you're doing right now at the circle. You might have them start right away with that.
Possibly.
Process, you know?
Possibly, because you want to, it is nice to get them out of that critical mode. I think when they get that circle, they right away, they find they're almost eager to show how deficient they are.
I know people always want to talk about their problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the part they're not coping with. I mean, you know, that's the psychological makeup, is that when things are flowing and easy, there's nothing to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, having to deal with it. It's the thing we don't know how to deal with that has got our energy, because we're not coping with it, or we don't know how to handle it. And so we want to bring that up, because the other parts, you know, it's like falling off a log. It's flowing. It's working. And so people always, you know, if that's where their energy is getting absorbed. And I really like the idea of, you know, also kind of more a flow of the Tao, like more where there's more effortlessness. When we're kind of resisting or struggling with something, we're putting a lot of, you know, you said that 3 to 7%, if we're just struggling with the part that's not working, it doesn't build energy. We want to build up a, you know, that flow, or go with the flow. And then things, when we have more energy or more positivity, it's just so much easier to shift. You know, we want to keep teaching people different ways to shift their energy.
Yeah.
So that, you know, shift their feeling state, shift their tone, shift their attitude, you know, doing these different practices to keep finding different ways to shift. Because once you're in a different state of awareness or consciousness, it's much easier. You can make a change. But if you're coming the same feeling, like, you know, you're coming to the situation that you're challenged with, not only with the current challenge, but you're bringing all the charge of all the times it didn't work before.
Yeah.
And so it's this highly charged, almost traumatized state that you're trying to shift something currently that has a long baggage or a long lineage of history and stories. So anytime we can help people have a different perspective or a different feeling about it, change is pretty natural, actually.
Yeah, and, you know, that's where the mind-body practices come in so handy, especially over the course of an extended length of time with people, because most people don't even notice initially. A lot of people don't live in their body, so they aren't aware of what it feels like when they're in the flow and when they're out of flow, when they're in harmony or when they're in disharmony. They may feel it at some level, but it may not come to a conscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start speaking to them about it and they start recognizing in life when they feel harmony or flow or whatever, however they best describe it, then those shifts start happening, because all of a sudden they're aware, oh, this really makes me uncomfortable, or, wow, I feel great when I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why the coaching is not so much always about getting something done or accomplished, but it's a way of being. And that naturally, like you said, once people are more aware, then they're aware, they start being in choice point.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, I'm really aware that, you know, doing this is really, like, wiping me out physically or mentally. And so, oh, when I do this, it feels good. So when I feel good, we position ourselves and in our energy and our body for more positive outcomes.
Yeah.
And so it's like a helping people to kind of get into the, you know, I always say, what gets you into the flow? Like, what makes you feel like you're in divine flow or you're connected to Source or God, or what makes you feel like you're just, you know, what practices or things or thinking or people or situations create that feeling where you feel like, yeah, I'm tapped in. And
yeah.
And then doing that a lot, because it again, naturally, when your conditioning or your accumulations or your negativity have shifted into a different state of actually a vibration or different physiology,
yes,
things naturally occur.
Yes.
You know, so that's so tuned in, and I really appreciate your sharing that. And I know all the coaches have their different unique ways of doing this, but I really appreciate your sharing these great skills and practices and like getting good results.
Yeah, it was an exciting time. And then the only other success that I wanted to share was that one thing that I did do for the group this time was I bought just some very simple 3-ring binders.
Mm.
To encourage those who are not necessarily the most organized amongst them. Because I had found that in one of my prior sessions that people were shuffling their papers a lot, you know, and that they,
uh-huh,
they'd want to go back to previous week's action steps. And then, so right from the start, I had them putting their things in order, keeping their first blueprint page always at the top.
Uh-huh.
And then their subsequent, the most current action steps right behind that. And so that they have kind of a chronological picture of how they're moving through the process. And it just helps them keep their, it helps them give a chronological look at what they're doing, helps keep track of their papers a little bit. And I just share that because I know that it was helpful for me as a coach to come upon that little piece, and the folks really appreciated it.
Yeah, that's a wonderful suggestion that people could bring a notebook and some, you know, maybe providing like just loose leaf notebook paper.
Yeah.
Or a 3-hole punch or something.
Yeah.
That we used to have the Circle of Life was in a notebook for about 6 years, and then it's just it's gone through many incarnations, as you can imagine, and then we ended up for many reasons deciding to go with the binder. But I do like that idea of having a notebook that they can keep continuing and having that order so they can see those sequences.
Well, I think that the folks really appreciate having the participant manual. As I think they see that as a timeless piece, and they recognize the timelessness of it and the value in keeping that really kind of clean and being able to go back to it as a resource in the future.
Mhm.
So,
well,
yeah,
thank you so much, Tammy.
You're welcome. It is. People really love the book and just feel like it has a ton of information, useful information in it.
Wonderful. Well, I like your idea of mind mapping too, and I would like to, you can easily create a mentor call for all of you. We talked about it earlier. I have somebody that could present it, and then some of you coaches that are already using it with your groups or individually. I think it is a really great option for people who do process differently.
Yeah, it is fun. It is a fun prod way to think.
Uh-huh. So, and if you know, if it works out, if you could join us on that call, it's just good to say how you do that with a group.
Sure, I'd love to.
All righty. Well, thanks again, Cammy, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Woohoo! Okay. Anyone else have a question or victory or comment?
Rebecca, I can share now. This is Bev.
Hi, Bev.
Hi. So my victory is that I did my first one-day retreat. I offered the Circle of Life as a retreat for the first time. And it was just really interesting to get a feel for how that would work. It was a very small group. It ended up only being four, but they all really wanted to do it, so I decided to go for it anyways, just to even to get it out there, and I thought it would also be good practice for me. I held it at a bed and breakfast, which was a beautiful venue in a rural setting, and she took care of the snacks and the lunch, and so, you know, it was just a really tranquil, lovely space for this. And what I noticed about the one day is that, you know, I think it's much more difficult to get people on board for a six-week process at $350 or whatever you're going to charge. However, doing it as a one day and having them now become familiar with the process, become familiar with the facilitator, know how, you know, how it's going to go if they continued with you because they've come to know you, they've come to bond as a group, they all wanted to continue the process after that. And so we did do the whole process after that.
Oh, fantastic.
And so it ended up, you know, I just charged them. I ordered the books for them. I charged them basically the difference. So in the end, it was the same as if I would have, you know, asked for $350 for the six-week process. And what I did was because I'm also a coach and I do one-on-one coaching by phone, I did the first time I met them all individually by phone just to kind of go over the blueprint and just to get some clarity around some stuff so that when we came back together as a group, we kind of have some direction. And so I did one half-hour coaching call with each person, and then we met every second week simply because that's what was going to work for their schedules for the next three weeks. And it was fantastic. It worked very well, and they loved it. And so, you know, even just it was just and you know and it got it out there. And
mm-hmm.
It gives people talks about it. And go ahead.
So you had a little package deal, which is nice. Is we talked about it in previous calls where you do a group and it's kind of a package where you get a half an hour to really fine tune your blueprint, kind
mm-hmm.
of individualize it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be like a package, like this is the coaching package, is a half an hour individual, either half an hour individual session twice or at least once. And again, fine-tuning their blueprint where they really get that individual time.
Mm-hmm.
You had the retreat, which was how many hours?
It was a full day. Like I think it was about 9 to 5. And you know what? It really was a full day, like too, because you're on the whole day.
Yes.
And so
yep.
If I wasn't so, you know, excited about it and had adrenaline pumping, I don't know, like it was kind of exhausting in a way. But it was so wonderful to have the food and everything taken care of and, you know, all of that. It's just like you give so much of yourself,
yes.
Right?
Yes, and that's why I usually suggest a half day.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 4-hour, and lunch can be purchased. Like if you're somewhere, they can purchase it. So it's not, or unless you add that on to your
mm-hmm.
fee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always encourage something like, you know, 10 to 2 or something.
Right.
You know, a half day or maybe a 5-hour max, because
would
it's a lot.
Two half days then to finish.
Well, I do
one
sometimes
two?
Like a half day where you. You go through like something like 10 to 2 or 10 to 3 or 9 to 3 with an hour lunch. So it's more like 5 hours instead of six
mm-hmm.
on your time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully you have a bigger group so that it's really, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's like you said, it's really good. Just I've done many times in the beginning where I just got four people because it's happening and it's
mm-hmm.
fun, and I'm glad to get the, you know, the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you're, you know, learning what you, you know, what really works well and what I do differently.
Absolutely.
So it's always good to do it. Plus, you got, you know, you ended up doing a group and having some, you know, a coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ended up continuing.
Mm-hmm. And all kinds of things happen around that too, like. Some people that wanted to first initially that answered the ad for the group ended up, one woman ended up, instead of coming to the group, she decided it would work better to coach with me one-on-one. So I coached her for about 3 months, one-on-one. So, and that was really as a result of me putting out the Circle of Life.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you said you had an ad. What kind of advertising did you do?
I made a poster, and I hung them up in places that I thought were, you know, where there would be like-minded, like-spirited individuals, and also had gave it out to sort of email lists of, you know, energy workers and people that I know that might, and the person who held the bed and who had it at her bed and breakfast, she's a friend of mine, and so she put it out to her people, and so kind of put it out that way. But and I think there's a free, I think I put it out on Kijiji, which is just this free classified ad, and I had some responses there, and then it was kind of word of mouth, like one person was going and then another person heard about it through them, so they came. And it's really interesting, just sort of seeing what parts are so powerful for people. The guided imageries, the visualizations were just so powerful, like there was such an emotive response from people that it kind of blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
They got,
I know,
so much out of it. And one woman, you know, actually got up and went to the washroom and left for a while because she was just so struck by stuff that was coming up for her. And wow, like, I mean, it was really something. And I found the rituals very, very powerful. The mind-body practices, you know, I learned something about myself in that because I don't know why, but I'm kind of uncomfortable with them. And maybe it seems too simple, or it seems, I mean, one that I love that we do is we just free dance. We just, you know, I put on, and that was great. Now, they love them. They seem to love the mind-body, so that's all that mattered in the end. But I found myself kind of feeling resistance there. Like, and I'm not sure what that's about, but, I was always trying to find something that was, you know, going to be more than, you know, a hand massage, or more than a, and I know I have to just do some work around that and find some creative ways to, I don't know. I just noticed that about myself.
Well, I think that, you know, we could do an email with each other, like, because in the coaching community, our Circle of Life coach, a lot of people have some really wonderful practices that you didn't get trained in that you might resonate more with. You know, because there's so many, and, you know, we don't care, you know, as Circle of Life, we don't care what they are as long as they're, you know, mindfully done and, you know, they're just empowering people to access their inner resources and their healer within. But, you know, we have so many great teachers in the coaching community, in the Circle of Life coaching community, with all kinds of practices. So maybe it's just ones that you just don't feel like, wow, I don't really relate to that, or,
perhaps,
you know, and also, but also noticing which ones people respond to.
Well, and I know, I like what you said earlier about speaking to people about why you're doing these.
Yes.
I was just trying to put myself in other people's shoes and thinking, okay, they're wondering because they're not into some of this, you know, energy work and stuff that I might be into, and so they're thinking, maybe they're thinking, what is this all about? Like, you know, except the dancing, it was just so great. I mean, by then, you know, they were just hopping around the house, like it was just so fun, and they loved it. I mean, they just loved it. And that was neat. And I ended up doing the intention ritual over again because by the fourth week, you know, there's so much more clarity around that. And I had these beautiful cards made up so that they can take them home, which said, you know, my intention and my affirmation. And I had them put the card on the table with the candle and their symbol and stuff. And so we did that again because we also did it in the one-day retreat. But we did it again. What do you think of that?
I think that's an incredibly fabulous idea.
Do it
and
again.
I'm really glad that you are really tuning in, because what I'm hearing from all of you is that you're tuning into your intuition and you're reading your group and you're following, you know, your heart, which is really supporting people. I think it's really, whenever you do that, you just can tell by the results. People are liking it. And those are all mind-body practices. Visualization is a mind-body practice. Intention rituals are mind-body practices. And you're saying these people really, your group really got a lot out of those practices. I mean, those experiences, and those are the mind-body practices. So mind-body practice isn't just a, you know, brain gym or massaging your ears. Those are all things that are accessing different aspects of the person's heart, their body intelligence, their psyche, their soul, their spirit. So, you know, maybe you find a couple physical ones that you just really like.
And I found I really love doing the visualizations. Like, I didn't know how much I was going to love doing them, but when I saw how much people were affected, I just loved doing them.
And did you find that you had good music and everything, too?
And I planned in advance. I mean, I, you know, had every little sticky note you could think of on certain CDs, exactly what song to... I did, like, a lot of spirit, like, flutes and sort of native stuff. I did all kinds of stuff, actually, some Zen stuff, and I kind of mixed it up a bit. But that, you know, and really set... I really set ambience for them, and it was a beautiful space, and that's kind of what I do. It's kind of who, so I tried to express myself in that, and I've actually been looking at, I'm going into my first symposium June 4th. It's a health and healing and spirituality symposium, and it's at this beautiful hotel in the city, and I'm having a table there, and I want to have, I've been looking at different venues to hold another retreat, and I've looked at so many, and just today, I think I found the one that I'm going to choose, which is this old monastery of ruins. It's beautiful. It's an art center, and it has a place there where they do meditation. It's called the Sanctuary. And so I think I'm going to try to plan another one day. And for me, that's it's kind of a big deal because I'm going to promote it at this symposium, and I don't know how many people will be interested. But I know the kind of people that go to this place where I'm holding it, and it would definitely be, you know, like-minded. And it's kind of scary for me because it's... You know, I knew, you know, I don't know, it was just four people. I knew the person at the bed and breakfast. You know, it felt more comfortable, but it was a good start. This is really pushing me to, you know, come into
who you are.
A new way. Yeah.
Who you already are, right? You're just, you know, like making that visible, and so people can really, you know, tap into what you really have to offer. Because you're already, you know, this is really your element.
You recognize your own sense of inadequacy and all of that too, right?
Of course. I mean, that's a given.
I mean, you know, even though it's wonderful to get feedback because the feedback was so affirming to me. I mean, you know, they said, you know, all kinds of things that then I'd think to myself, I wouldn't say it to them, but I think, really? Wow.
Like,
I mean, they called me at home to say, you know, someone called me as soon as I got home to say, you know, what a great facilitator I was and how great, you know, And it was just like, really? Wow. You would call me at home to tell me this? And it was good for me, right? And that's why I'm glad I pushed myself to, because I know I'm a great coach one-on-one, but I've never done the, I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but, you know, I feel that that's my call, the one-on-one stuff. I've not done a lot of group stuff, so I was feeling, you know, I just wanted so much for them to leave with something and for them to get
something. Well, it sounds like they did. And if you could write down those testimonials, and have that ready for that event in June, because that's what people read.
Well, that reminds me. I asked them for testimonials.
Yeah,
you want
four great testimonials.
Yeah.
And the thing they called about, and just, you know, just remember what she said and just write that down. Say, is it okay if I use this as a testimonial and I can be anonymous? You know, you can be anonymous, but I can just put your initials and where you're from or something. Because that's what really sells is, you know, people feeling like when you're at your event, creating some kind of environment where, just like you did, like a little oasis in that conference or whatever, they come in your little space and there's something that feels good, and then they feel safe with you, and then they read these testimonials that maybe they're, you know, blown up on a flip chart or something where people are, or on your brochure or flyer, and that's what really brings people, is they go, oh, well, you know, Susan, who's, you know, 50, and this is what happened for her. She really accessed her inner guidance and felt like she cleared something, you know, through this process in a very gentle, safe environment or something like that.
So I'm wondering at this symposium, how, like I have some great signage and stuff, the wheel and all that, but I'm thinking that maybe it would be good to have some wheels and just converse
yes.
with people and have them fill out a wheel. They don't have
yes.
to necessarily do it with pencil crayons and all that,
yes.
but just as you were talking about, just a pen and kind of talk to them at that time then about how it all supports, you know, how everything, I mean, just kind of as a way to engage people.
Yes, give a 5 minutes, you know, like you'll have them fill it out and have a five to ten minute coaching session.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
where you're talking about their strengths. And you could have crayons there so they could have a color.
Mm-hmm.
Just pick a crayon and fill this out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you can sign up for a five-minute session, or if you're available at that minute, you can say, would you like to have five-minute, ten-minute coaching session?
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you could even get a few people, if there's a few people at the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do it all at once.
Yeah, you could say, in 15 minutes or every hour, I'm going to do a 10 minute coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to share anything if you don't want to. You can just experience it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Now, what are the challenges, which I hadn't anticipated, and you go as things come up, right? Like you,
yes.
as you said, you get a feel for the group and stuff. Is that the one, and I talked to you about this briefly, the one-day retreat, it wasn't so important in terms of where people were at and their ages and stuff like that. Now then, when they all wanted to come back and continue on with the process, there was one young woman who was about 20, and the rest were all over 40.
Mm.
And I could see already, even just from that day that we had together, that this would not work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really concerned with, now what do I do? Because they all want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, it all, you know, worked itself out in the universe. Kind of,
uh-huh.
I did the one-on-one coaching with her. Clearly, her sort of where she was at came up with, and she just wasn't ready. And so
yes.
she even, I gave her a couple of days to sort of think, because I mean, she really wasn't sort of, it didn't seem like she was taking it very seriously at that point. And so I wasn't sure how ready, and I was able to say that in a way that was very life-giving. And
yes.
came back and said, you know, thank you very much, and you're right, I think that now isn't, you know, maybe because she had some things going on. And it worked itself out. And then another person who's been on my first circle of life came and joined, who owns the bed and breakfast. She joined us, so we had the same amount of people, and it was great. It worked
itself
out.
Well, it sounds like your intent was really clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you handled it by helping her to clarify herself that it wasn't
yeah.
the right match for her.
Yeah.
So that's very masterful.
Mm. It was a little, at first it was sort of like, wow.
Well, yes, yeah, hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to, you know, at some point if you'd be willing to, you know, write down a little script that you wrote, like what did you say to her to help gently, you know, in a life-affirming way, help her to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do in the interviews in the beginning. That's why we have an application or
mm-hmm.
phone interview, is to kind of see what the person's goals are, you know,
mm-hmm.
what their age is, what's working for them. You know, we want
yeah,
to
and
interview.
Yeah, and I did that, and for the retreat, for the one day, it was fine. She was,
yeah.
It was great to have her there.
Well, that's right, and you can say those. That's appropriate for that, and then, but for the follow-up, you know, this would be another interview to see if it's the right match for the follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
For the group process. They're like two different things.
Yeah. Do we have something for that's separate for that, or are we just
No, I just think it'd be the same thing. You just say, well, you know, because we designed this as two kind of separate processes, one is, you know, the one day, and then for the group follow-up, we want to make sure it's a, you know, good match for the following sessions, and we find
mm-hmm.
that it's best to have it a really good match, being, you know, similar age and some similarities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was my, and now I'm just really going gung-ho with, because I'm transitioning too, I want to get away from my counseling profession, and I want to just move fully with my coaching, and I also took training to facilitate retreats, and so what's interesting is I now sometimes I can't remember what circle of life and what's part of my other training. I just kind of
mm-hmm.
add in things. One thing I added, which you also have given us a whole bunch of powerful coaching questions, but I collect questions, and I've been doing it for a long time for this very purpose, and people loved this, and I had this fancy little box, and I had them always pick a question, and then if we had time the next, and they would take it with them for the week, you know, and they would just let it ruminate, and if we had time, and most of them did want to share around that. You know, we would share the next time we got together, but they just couldn't wait to get their next question. And it was, and you know, inevitably, it's almost as if the question chooses them. Mm. You know?
So they just picked it like randomly without looking at it.
I'd go around to the box, and they would pick the question, and then you know, you would see their eyes, and they were just like, "Wow, I can't believe it's that question," because that's the very thing. It just sort of, I don't know, the synchronicity, divine orchestration. I don't know how it works.
Well, I love that idea. And if anybody has some questions, all of you, if you have questions that you feel like are really good, if you wouldn't mind sharing some of those, Bev, or any of you, then we can just collect those. And, you know, that's a great idea for a retreat or for groups or even individual sessions.
Well, I think I'm going to do that at the symposium, too.
That's a great idea.
A conversation with somebody just to have some questions. And they're coaching questions. So they're, you know, it's giving them a little taste of what they might be asked.
Yeah, like, can you give us one sample for now, and then we'll need to...
I got my little box right here, okay?
Yeah, good.
My box, my bell, my... Okay. So the first one I'm picking up is ignorance bliss?
Mm-hmm. I'm finding it quite... This one,
yeah. Could I be completely fulfilled and happy even if nothing in my life were to change?
Mm-hmm.
If I got what I wanted, would I have what I want?
Those are profound. Those kind of like
they
know,
are. They're really profound.
Then
how will I know that I'm ready? What if I were to focus on what is working rather than what is not? So they're just random things that
those are wonderful. How many do you have?
I don't know how many are in this box. I've just kind of collected them. How can I demonstrate my gratitude for a part of my body that I've judged as unattractive? I mean, I remember somebody getting that question, and they just, like, it was exactly what she's been struggling with, right?
Oh, that's
really
wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bev, for just sharing all those incredible victories and insights and practices that we can all add. And I remember when we talked about it prior to the time, you were talking about the powers, like speaking about the powers, and I said, you know, bypass the powers and just get into the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can talk a little bit about the but they're built in the process, and so not to worry too much about talking about stuff, but just mentioning something and then they experience it, and
and that's what I'd like to get better at. I mean, even though they said I was very well spoken and kept their attention the whole time, I felt like I was doing a lot of talking, and I love the way you just sort of, you know, someone asks you and you just spit it out, and you don't have to, you know, you're not looking at notes. Like, I want to get to that point where I'm not looking down at, you know, notes I've written to. Like, I think I make it more difficult than more complicated than I need to, in a way.
Well,
I just want to give them so much information, but less is more.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, I'm not at the point where maybe like you can just rhyme off about, you know, how metaphors work in our lives and how, you know, I sort of have to look at my notes.
Well, you do for now because it's new, it's a new group experience. I mean, you've just done it a couple times. So give yourself some grace. I mean, you know, you just need to, you know, you're just in practice, but you already have found what you did, and you found that doing guided imagery was, like, really one of your strengths, and people got so much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we each kind of find something that is kind of our natural gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other stuff we just kind of bring in there, but if there's something that really serves people, like, really, you know, just own that and enjoy that, and the rest isn't so important.
Yeah, and the way you find that out is by going out and doing it. Like, really.
Exactly.
What I've discovered, I mean, I'm sort of thinking of even having a product and doing some self-guided, doing some guided, you know, imagery stuff on a
Right on, sister. Well, Bev, I'd love that you're sharing, and we have some other people that I'd like to hear from them, too, but thank you so much for those great insights, and high five.
Thanks.
All righty. Anyone else want to ask a question or share something or? Sounds like somebody might be trying to come on. Are we all still hooked in here?
Yes.
Oh, good. Any more comments or questions or, you know, it's okay that if you're not gloriously, you know, unfolding as these people that have been sharing.
This is Rhonda. I just had some comments that are just so inspiring to hear all these victories.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to just say a little bit about mind-body practice because I'm a long-time mind-body practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, like especially, I don't know, I can't remember the name of the coach who's going to be working with that group of nurses, is perhaps show, and she probably already knows this, is show them how they can work mind-body practice into their daily routine while they're nursing. Because lots of times, you know, our lives are so busy, like if you say, oh, I've got to practice 30 minutes of mind-body practice in the morning, it may never happen. But if you grab like a five, you know, a couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes here, then it adds up, and it helps to, you know, keep your mind, body, and a good, and spirit in a good place. And it personally works for me. I mean, there's always times where you can do longer practice, but sometimes it's just helpful to, you know, get that breathing or do like a walking meditation or, you know, whatever you can do to fit it in your day. And so just really encourage people that you can take the mind-body practice on very gently. You don't have to, you can still get value and not add 45 minutes a day to your schedule.
Mm-hmm. And I really think that's a really good point, and especially when I work with busy people, which is pretty much most people these days. Is that's why I try to teach, you know, 30-second to 1-minute practices that, again, kind of interrupt maybe the stress cycle or can help you shift. So we can do things like, you know, just taking 3 big belly breaths. I mean, I find that breathing is the thing that shifts almost everyone, and everybody really needs practice in.
Oh, golly, yeah.
No, and when you shift your breath, just look at your thoughts and see if there's something you could say to yourself that might be more supportive. You know, or just being aware of your body and just finding where there's tension and just giving it a moment to see if you could just relax that part and take a nice deep breath into that part. Something that took, you know, that takes like 15 seconds. So we want to, again, encourage people, like you said, Rhonda, is to just having a little bit more mindfulness, and then what is this, what is something they could do to bring themselves in more alignment, or drinking a glass of water, because I think most people aren't, first of all, they're not breathing deep. I know I have to work on it constantly myself, and then water, which I think most people are dehydrated. So if they're feeling stressed, sometimes they just don't have enough oxygen circulating, or they need some water to hydrate to optimize the function of their brain and their nervous system and the nutrition being carried through the system. So those 2 simple things, people drinking water and breathing deep, just takes, you know, between 15 seconds to a minute, and that's a huge mind-body practice.
Right. And then the only other thing, that I remind myself is, and it comes from the recovery tradition. It's like if you there, and there's an acronym, and it's, you probably heard this one: HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If you're any of those, you need to make some sort of intervention for yourself to, like, either have water or take some deep breaths. Maybe you need to eat. Maybe you need to go to the bathroom. You've held it too long or something. You know, any of those.
HALT,
like HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that from friends who've gone through, like, recovery-type traditions, you know, like Alcoholic Anonymous. But it's a good thing for, you know, just to remind ourselves, well, if I'm hungry, you know, like I might not be optimal if I haven't fed myself, or if I'm angry, which means, you know, I need to pay attention but not necessarily go lash out, but just, you know, how, you know, it's like being aware of your feelings. Lonely, maybe I need to reach out and talk to somebody, or, you know, call a friend, or, you know, have some social time. Tired, maybe just getting enough rest. So it's kind of like monitoring your, it's kind of a self-care acronym. It's like things to look at in yourself to help take care of yourself. It definitely works even if you aren't in recovery. It helps a great deal.
Yeah, and I think we could say anger like frustration.
Yeah.
I'm not angry, but they're frustrated. You know, so it kind of maybe making the words angry can be frustrated or, you know, impatient or whatever. I think that's really good. I like little acronyms because it's just helpful to remember. And then in the participant guidebook, in part 3, page 2, a daily check-in, tuning into yourself. So having people ask themselves, how do I feel right now? How am I feeling in my body? A physical check-in. What am I thinking about? What my mind's focused on? A mental check-in. How am I feeling right now? Emotional. What's surrounding me? You know, people, sounds, smells, temperature, personal space. How's it affecting me? Like an environmental check-in. How do I feel spiritually? A spiritual check-in. And then what can you do physically? It has some, you know, breathe deep, drink water, stretch. Mentally focus on solutions. Give supportive self-talk. So that's a nice sheet to draw from so people can be asking themselves questions, and then what's something they can do in that moment to shift that. So that, again, that's in your participant guidebook on part 3 in the self-care practices, page 2. So thank you, Rhonda. And it's a good reminder because I do know that people think, oh, I don't have time for that. But we really, if we're doing it throughout the day, then we don't have that accumulative reaction where, you know, we are exhausted and we wake up tired and then, you know, we think we have to do a big program when really, if we're doing something frequently, we can keep ourselves, you know, clean, clear energy moving through.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
Hi, this is John.
Hey, John.
Hi, how are you, Yan?
Good.
Sounds like you're cutting out there, or I'm cutting out, one of the two.
I'm not hearing you cut out.
Okay, there it goes. It comes back now.
Okay, good.
A couple things. I wanted to refer folks to the, well, first of all, say thanks for all the fabulous ideas and great conversation in this call. Very much appreciated everyone's input. And then I remember there's an article in Ode magazine, March 2010, that comes straight out of the, sounds like Circle of Life, was written by a Circle of Life person. It's on hope therapy, which comes out of the positive psychology movement.
Mm-hmm.
And just interesting, good article and supportive Circle of Life programs, so I wanted to refer people to that.
How do we find that?
Ode Magazine, ODE, mm-hmm. And it's on the March issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the article is Great Expectations, How Hope Therapy Can Banish Mild Mood Disorders and Boost Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I mean, it's so directly in line with Circle of Life, very supportive. And I think if you're writing proposals or presenting Circle of Life to folks, bringing in the science of positive psychology and this kind of hope therapy is very helpful for helping give credibility to the presentations. Then a couple victories. I recently taught and assisted at a 10-day Qigong teacher training retreat. And I was working with a lot of coaching, both in the small and large group. And the retreat went quite exceptionally well, with very profound emotional healings and physical healings. And what was intriguing to me about the process, which I heard in the conversation we've had today, was that we chose to drop a fair amount of our agenda, getting things done, in order to stay with the present moment of the group process, really just trusting that the greater benefit would emerge out of the trusting, deep trusting atmosphere. And it was just mind-boggling to me how profound the trust became, and the depth of emotional healing in particular that people were able to access because of that, just because there was a really strong sacred container holding it. And probably some of the strongest moments I've ever seen in emotional healing. So it brought home to me this delicate balance between going with the deep flow of the moment and still covering your planned agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's kind of a question. It's a rhetorical mm-hmm. question, I guess. But it's I lean toward the former, toward staying with the deep moment, but realizing too that there's a little bit of a sacrifice there because the things that maybe were important to get done but didn't quite get done as fully as I'd like had to get delayed.
Yeah, and I feel that as human species that again the structure is just like container for if you need that support, and people are needing that support.
Right.
But really, I feel like the essence is that we're all, we're in a very special time in the history of humanness, and that anytime we can access the resource of who we really are, and that we can be with that and feel that, and have healing, that the other stuff is just so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the
yes.
practical, because that's what keeps us being able to create or do anything in our life. To me, what I've seen is that's what keeps us being able to really create anything in our life is those blockages of, you know, feeling like a trust in the universe, a trust in ourselves, a trust in God, a trust in our bodies, that when we have that, then the other things are just, you know, kind of, you know, okay, well, now that we've accessed source, whatever we call that, and healing, then it's just so much easier. Then the other things just are kind of, you know, like daily experiences that we can more easily move through.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, so the purpose is really to access that. But people in general, most people need, and coaches, you know, we always can facilitate and coach at the level that we are. You know, so even though the process will always, you know, the process itself will just move people forward, and people will move forward in different ways. I mean, I've worked with groups where, as I've shared with you in trainings, some people just, you know, are very superficial, but like they just make a life improvement, you know, like, oh, you know, they're just exercising more and they're just feeling better.
Mm,
and
right.
other people, like, you know, shift, like, you know, like an incarnation shift or something. They make a very different, profound shift. And so that's why it can be used in a very, you know, kind of, let's just have some positive improvements in our life to let's actually shift how we are operating and being and purposefully living in our life. So, again, the facilitation is often reflective of the facilitator because you really
yeah.
can't facilitate a whole bunch more than where you are at that
right.
point in time, right? So, again, you know, a lot of times things don't get done, but it just depends on what the people feel at the end.
Right.
Like,
do right.
they feel like, wow, that's what I needed.
Right.
More than, you know, making a list of action steps. It's like, that was what I really needed.
Exactly, exactly. The
later,
other thing.
I can take that plan. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I also in this retreat experience, I was reminded again how much can happen in individual coaching in very brief encounters. I had a lot of very brief encounters, 1 minute to 10 minutes, and people really, those can be deeply moving, effective encounters, and I had forgotten that. I had forgotten that that can be that way. I mean, if I could look back at my own experience, I say, well, of course, I've had that same thing. But it reminded me that as a coach, we have that to offer to people in the casual, everyday, moment-to-moment flow of life. We can be there for people in ways that can really help them shift in ways that I often forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a really good reminder, because when we're really present, and then we're, you know, very present, sometimes the questions or the connections just are there, right? And then,
right.
And that's why it's so important for us as coaches is to practice the things that make us feel present.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not thinking about all the things like that we're supposed to ask and what's the right question and, you know, in our head, but we're just a little bit more present because those things are really available to us.
Right.
So that's, and I'd love to know, like, could you give an example of a brief encounter that you've experienced where you just kind of, like,
I sat down for breakfast. There was a, this popped in my mind just now, a woman who I really did not want to sit next to and have breakfast with. Oh, God, how can I get out of this? And then, and then I saw, you're having a reaction here. You're having a judgment here. So I just asked myself, say, well, let's just see if we can be a little more present. And so I turned to her and began conversation and listening. And was very shortly thereafter drawn in and really moved by what she was saying and who she was, and that resulted in a couple of amazing testimonies and stories that she shared with the group later on that were for her transformative. And so it was just this one simple, John's having a reaction, John's got a judgment here, just seeing that, and then simply listening. Just listening to her and giving her the, you know, the space to be a human being.
And when you said listening, how first of all, what brought you present? Because you felt like you, you know, had a little resistance.
Well, I just saw the self-observation, and when I had that self-observation that I was having a reaction, I saw it, that's not what I wished, that's not how I wish to be in the world. And so I came to, experience of body breathing, body sitting, and then I saw body relaxed. then John became a little more present, and that enabled me to listen without judgment. And the more I listened, as soon as I began listening, there was immediate appreciation of her.
Mm.
There was immediate gratitude for her, and desire to be a human being with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, you know, the atmosphere immediately shifted, and so, you know, we had this wonderfully alive relationship for the rest of the retreat, and she shared things that came out of that experience with the large group that were quite striking.
And when you said you were just listening, did you reflect back some things you were hearing, or what was that listening?
I mean, yeah.
Help to define it so that other people can learn from it.
Well, she was facing fourth stage cancer,
mm.
and had a long history of physical illness, and had a desire to teach Qigong, but felt that she was not adequately prepared or competent to do that. So I reflected back her strengths to her. Was one of the things that came up. And
what were some things that you said? Do you remember?
Well, this was...
Or just like one that you remember?
Yeah.
Did you get that from listening to her or observing her earlier in the training?
Well, both. Actually, there was an observation later of her where she was in a small group and I was feeding back the strengths she had as she demonstrated a form. But I think, well, at the breakfast table, what struck me was her courage. And that was one of the things I said back to her. She had a lot of courage to take on the physical challenges the way she did and show up at this retreat when she didn't have the money or a whole lot of physical strength to do so.
Mm.
So just recognizing that. And then there was, you know, I could register that she was feeling an acceptance from me, which maybe at some level she didn't feel before that. And because I had a position of quote-unquote authority at the retreat, that might have been more significant for her. I don't remember, you know, but that was one thing, was just reflecting back her courage and strength to show up. But, you know, of course, the payoff was I benefited greatly. I feel more than she did from the encounter. So, that was one experience.
Well, that's very powerful, and I really appreciate your sharing that because it shows the power of, you know, not coming up with a bunch of questions or having the right coaching question, but just being present with somebody and reflecting back what you're, you know, something beautiful that you're noticing, and then having that person feel seen and safe and acknowledged and valuable.
I was enjoying her. That's what comes.
Uh-huh.
I was enjoying her.
Oh, that's
that was the shift.
Enjoying.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So I just really appreciate your sharing that because sometimes we think we have to have all these other things going or, you know, make sure they did the assessment or make sure we're doing that. When it's really, this is what people really, really need.
Yes.
In that state of you enjoying her, like she probably doesn't feel like she's enjoyed very much and she's maybe not always enjoying herself very much. And to feel somebody enjoying her presence and seeing it and really, you know, wanting to be with her like that in itself, that's the thing that shifts people to be able to make, you know, the action steps or whatever later just make it so much easier.
Right.
That's the foundation.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
So thank you so much for that really exquisite coaching that you did and also the reminder that those, you know, being present for a few minutes is, you know, better than like an hour and a half of just cranking away and having an agenda and, you know, and that you found yourself making yourself present.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you do that?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, John.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Well, thank you all for this just extraordinary session, and just wow, what lucky ducks we are to have each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like, you know, we're zillionaires. So, anyone else before we close? All righty then. Well, again, thank you all and all blessings to you. And anything that you have from this call that you'd like to share or forward to me that I can forward to the other coaches, any questions, thoughts, testimonials, experiences, please always do that and I just share it. And I know all of you just take it, drink it in and, you know, pass it on. So we'll get together for our June call, and if you'd like a theme call or, you know, just anything, give me feedback. Say, well, let's do a call on mind mapping or let's do a call on this. Please just shoot your ideas to me, and then we'll just see what the group wants to do. So have a blessed beginning of summer and a full moon tomorrow. And nighty night and sweet dreams.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.